Join Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Jennifer Roback Morse, Scott Murray, and me for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
And they won't ask me questions.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. The divorce industry runs on a lot of things, but perhaps the money, bad laws, the degradation of the family and of marriage in the United States, all those things contribute. But perhaps the biggest contributor to divorce isn't something tangible or measurable like that. It is a way of thinking, what our guest for the next few minutes of the program calls a fantasy world of divorce. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is a regular guest. She's founder and president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason universities, and she's author of several books, including her latest, The Sexual Revolution and Its Victims, and a recent column titled Divorce Enablers: The Liberal Fantasy World is Wrecking Children's Lives. Jennifer, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
So if you would kind of paint us a picture of the world, this fantasy world of divorce that not only enables and strengthens the divorce industry and divorces, but actually kind of convinces people that divorce is better than marriage in many cases.
Well, this idea has been around for a while, and it kind of goes like this. There's a socially approved script for divorce, and no-fault divorce came into being because people convinced themselves that we need to make it easier for two people, two reasonable, sensible, mature adults to get divorced. They were going to get divorced anyway, and what good is it for the government to try to force them to stay together in a loveless marriage? Why should they have to go through the charade of proving that someone committed adultery or some other marital fault? That was the story that was promoted to make people accept the idea of no-fault divorce. Well, the problem is that story might have had something to do with the 6% or so of people who were getting divorced back in the day. But now, when you have a much higher divorce rate, what people didn't count on is that you changed the incentives for everybody. You didn't just change the incentives for that handful of people who were going to get divorced in the first place. Oh, it'll be cheaper for them. It'll be easier. It'll be better. No, you changed the calculation for everybody so that now people can get divorced when they're the ones who have committed the marital fault and the government doesn't ask any questions. They've changed the incentives for all kinds of bad behavior. So the official storyline is what I just said. You know, that's the only kind of divorce there is. But the reality is that many, many divorces take place against the wishes of one party who would like to stay married, but the government always takes sides with the person who wants the marriage the least. And of course, the children are not considered at all. The secondary part of the divorce fantasy world is the kids will be fine as long as their parents are happy. As a matter of fact, the kids will be better off if their parents are happy, if they get out of all that arguing and tension and everything. And again, that has turned out to be not true. Most kids don't know if their parents are having trouble in the bedroom or something like that. As long as there's not overt violence and constant arguing, kids find divorce to be extremely upsetting. And in fact, kids, we know now from lots and lots of social science evidence that children are much worse off if a low conflict marriage ends in divorce. So that fantasy ideology that divorce is harmless and probably a good thing, that's the thing that really fuels it. And in order to make that ideology work, Todd, you have to suppress the stories of everybody who has a different experience with divorce other than the divorce is painless and harmless story.
You also say that it's built on a false dichotomy, or at least a kind of, you say, there's only one choice. You can live in an unhappy marriage and be miserable for the rest of your life, or you can get divorced and live happily ever after. Why is that a false dichotomy?
Well, it's a false dichotomy because it ignores the fact that getting a divorce is not necessarily going to solve all your problems. In fact, in many, many cases, at least half the problems in the marriage follow you into your next marriage because those were the problems that you had, that you brought to the marriage. And nobody ever considers that. And they never consider the fact that a lot of the conflict that you had with your spouse doesn't end. You just transfer it out of the home and into the court. And in the court, it becomes much more toxic and much more damaging in many cases. And you also don't consider the impact on kids. Well, what does it mean to a child to have to move every week or every other week? What does it mean to a child to see the photos of their family taken down from the wall, and they no longer have a picture of themselves with all of their family? You know, that's not hanging on the wall anymore. And it doesn't calculate the impact of remarriage and how remarriage affects the children and affects the people left behind. So they're just that whole side of the calculation, the simple, either you're miserable and you stay in a miserable marriage, or you get divorced and live happily ever after, it completely ignores all of those consequences of divorce. But the other thing, more important thing, that it leaves out of account, Todd, is that at the beginning, you had more choices. You could, besides remaining miserable or getting divorced, you could do something to behave better inside your marriage and do something to improve your married life. And that, I firmly believe, unless there's overt violence going on in the home, many, many people can do something to improve the condition of their married lives, even if their spouse doesn't change a bit. And that's what, you know, we wrote a book on that subject, 101 Tips for a Happier Marriage, has as its premise that only one person's doing anything, and you can still make positive changes. That's what's left out of that calculation there.
Was there a time when, before no-fault divorce, and this seems almost inconceivable nowadays, when one party in the marriage would say, I want a divorce, and the court would say, no, you don't have sufficient grounds for a divorce. No legal grant. You go ahead and separate if you want to, but right. We're not going to legally grant your divorce because the state has an interest in keeping this, in, maybe just in terms of legal terms, keeping you faithful to that contract. If there's a good reason for you to stay together or to try to stay together. Was there a time like that?
Yeah, absolutely, there was a time like that. And the thing we don't take fully into account is that what a divorce gives you, Todd, is the right to remarry. And that's what people want, is the right to remarry, okay? So if people just got divorced, and if all it meant is you were going to live in a separate house and not put up with the bad behavior or whatever the issues might be, but you didn't remarry, many of the problems that children of divorce face would not be there. I mean, and I've talked to a lot of people in this situation, and the book that I wrote the foreword for, that the article that you're referring to, is really the foreword to a book describing where adult children of divorce describe what it was like for them growing up. And the vast majority of cases, it's the remarriage of their parents that causes enormous, it just multiplies the problems. And so, you know, mom may be happier now that she's on her new marriage. And even if it's her second or third or her fourth marriage, she may think she's going to be happy. But the kids are in the background rolling their eyes thinking, oh, my God, here she goes again, you know, and it doesn't do a thing for them. And so that permission to remarry is the thing that no-fault divorce granted. And it granted basically because one person wanted permission to remarry. And so what that does is it not only undermines the permanence of marriage, it undermines the sexual exclusivity of marriage, Todd, because what it says is that if I have a new sweetie, I can get divorced and go off and run off with my new sweetie, which I would have been the faulting party under a fault-based system, and my spouse could have taken me to the cleaners financially for doing that. You know, and so there, that whole incentive structure was completely undermined now because, you know, the court, in effect, is taking sides with the person who not only wants the marriage the least, but in some cases, the person who has done the most harm to the marriage. The court and the state is basically rewarding that person. And, you know, obviously, I don't care how you interpret Matthew 19 and it's so so-called escape clause, Jesus never in a million years intended that the exception for lewd conduct or adultery, or however you want to translate Matthew 19, he never intended that the adulterous party would be the person who would benefit from the thing. You know, that obviously can't be right.
With about 30 seconds here, are the children the one most silenced when they don't follow that pre-approved script on divorce?
Oh, no question about it, Todd. I mean, the kids are supposed to be fine. And if they're not fine, we take them for therapy. We put them on medication. We tell them they'll get over it. And I've talked to so many people who year after year, one Christmas after another, one birthday after another, one holiday after another that was ruined by adult conflict, and the kids are the ones who are supposed to get over it and just accept that this is the new normal for them. The kids have to carry the cross. The adults put the cross down and the children pick it up. That's what divorce means from the child's perspective. And that's what we talk about in this book, Primal Loss, The Now Adult Children of Divorce Speak.
Before we let you go, tell us about your presentation for the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference against the sexual revolution, about 20 seconds or so.
Well, I'll be talking about divorce for sure. I have no doubt that I'll be talking about that. But I'm going to be talking about that in November, isn't that right?
In November, yes.
Okay, don't scare me. Make me think I'm supposed to show up someplace in June. You scared me, Todd.
No.
But no, I'll be talking about divorce for sure. I'll be talking about the fact that children are entitled to a relationship with both of their parents, and they're entitled to know who they are. And if you take that entitlement as basic and work and reason backwards from that, what you'll end up with is the whole traditional Christian sexual morality of get married, stay married, and only have sex with the person you're married to. Be a lot better for kids.
You can meet and hear Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse at the Making the Case Conference Friday, November the 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. You'll find a list of speakers and topics and registration information at issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founder and president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of several books, including her latest, The Sexual Revolution and Its Victims, and a recent column titled Divorce Enablers, The Liberal Fantasy World is Wrecking Children's Lives. Read both of them and find her book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jennifer, thank you very much.
It was my pleasure, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to get a review of the movie Wonder Woman. Boy, this movie is dividing people down the line, not just comic book fans, but people saying that it's a feminist diatribe, some saying it's not feminist enough. We'll be reviewing the movie with Pastor Ted Giese tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.